Thank you for tuning in to our sermons at Upper Room Church. If this ministry is blessing you and you'd like to give back, or if you'd just like to learn more information about Upper Room, you can visit our website at upperroompensacola.com. Thank you.
So glad that you came out on this kind of stormy. I've seen better weather in my day. So glad that you came out to be with us. And wasn't that worship awesome? Can we put our hands together for the worship team? They're just incredible. It gets better every week. So thankful for them. Moms, we just want to honor you this morning. And I don't know if they told y'all, maybe, probably. We got some gifts in the back for all the moms, and got free coffee. So actually, if it's raining, you can go ahead and just turn that free coffee in, get you a coffee after service. And just so thankful for all the moms. You know, I had a newfound appreciation for my mom once my son was born, and even Caitlin, my wife. And I remember right after Asa was born, our son, about 3 years ago, I called my mom. And I just want to say thank you. You know, like, didn't realize that you went through all that and for me, you know. And you know, we could take them for granted sometimes. And I wasn't the easiest kid to raise, even though I want to say I was, but I know I wasn't. And I was trying to think of how to describe moms. You know, what's the best word? And I feel like if I could think of one way to describe mothers is they just have unconditional love, right? Like, their babies can't do any wrong, you know? I remember, I think it was eighth grade, and in eighth grade, I was around 4'10". That's height. I didn't break the 5-foot mark until, like, 10th, 11th grade. So I was this little guy, and there was this big, big eighth grader that was picking on me all the time, and I was too small to do anything about it. So I did the next best thing. I rallied all my friends around. I'm like, we're going to jump this kid together, okay, between classes. And so I had a kid at the door. I had one in the hallway. There was like four of us. And Hobbs Middle School. And he was big. He was a bully. He was mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just got to the point where I was like, I got to do something about this. And we just kind of, eighth grade jumping, it's like just kind of, it wasn't nothing serious. But anyways, the kid happened to be the resource officer's son. So that's the cop that's there at the, anyways. So I got called to the office, and, I got suspended, and they called my mom up there. And I remember the principal reading, like, the description of what happened. They're like, Nathan staged three kids in the hallway, one at the door, one at Miss Jones's class, and they attacked him out of, and I just remember my mom saying, you got the wrong kid. There's no way that my Nathan did this, and she still doesn't. I got suspended 3 days. She cooked me all these meals while I was at home because she thought there's no way that her son could do so. Anyways, unconditional love, right? Not my baby, huh? Not my baby. But thank you so much, moms, for loving the mess out of us, loving us unconditionally when we act crazy, and when we act crazy. So I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about the new series that we're starting, and I'm for several reasons, but I want to say my favorite thing to talk about, or person, or topic, is the Holy Spirit. Because number one, one of the challenges I want to put out there before we jump into this morning is most people have a preconceived idea of who the Holy Spirit is, depending on kind of your upbringing or if you were raised in church or not raised in church. And so I kind of want to challenge all of us to start with a clean slate, that we're going to go through this over the next 4 weeks and just kind of whatever preconceived ideas that we have of the Holy Spirit, whether good or bad, or maybe the experiences that we've had, that maybe we can, let's just kind of approach this with a brand new mindset and really just see, what does the Word say about the Holy Spirit? How important is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And, what I've found is I don't know if there's quite anything that's more important in our lives as believers than listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's anything more important than that. And honestly, my job, I feel like, as a pastor, is not so much to hold you accountable or to tell you what to do. My job, I feel like, is to give you the tools to hear from God yourself. Amen? and so that you can be guided through the power of His Spirit. Because we know that God is in heaven and Jesus is seated at his right hand. And so the Holy Spirit is the person on this side of eternity that's speaking to us, that's guiding us, that's leading us, that's helping us walk this life out as believers. It's the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 14, you know, Jesus is setting up His departure. He knows He's about to leave. He's only got really probably just a few more days left while He's setting this up. And He's explaining to His disciples how important the role of the Holy Spirit is going to be in their lives. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is I don't believe the Holy Spirit is outdated. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is irrelevant. I think that whether we realize it or not, that more than anything that we need in our lives, we desperately need to be tuning in to the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew that, and He knew the only way the disciples were going to fulfill their destiny was with this power that He was sending to them. You know, He told them, He says, all right, hit the last words right after the resurrection, and then He walked around, and he showed Himself for a few, you know, everybody knew that He resurrected, He was alive. He gave them like those last marching orders. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. I want you to go to the upper room, but I don't want you to try to do anything until what the Holy Spirit comes. Don't try to plant one church. Don't preach one sermon, right? Don't make one table. Like he said, don't go back to work. You know, Peter, don't go fishing. Like, I want you to go to the upper room, and until this power comes, I want you just to stay. Because He knew how important the Holy Spirit was going to be for them, and it's the same for us, no different. And so in John 14, the word I'm going to base this study around is a Greek word parakletos. And it actually means, the best way I could define it in English is it just means it's a helper. It's somebody who's called alongside us. And so in John 14, if you're following along, it says that I'm going to ask the Father, Jesus speaking to the disciples, and He will give you another helper. That's that Greek word parakletos. It's used 5 times in the New Testament, 4 times in the book of John in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John. So it's not used a lot, but to me it's the best description of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that he's come to help us. Can anybody use a little help? Amen? Yeah, He's our helper. And so I'm sending you this helper. Jesus is speaking to us to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him because He's going to dwell with you and He will be in you. So the role of the Holy Spirit, He's a helper. Not only is He going to be with us, Jesus took it to another dimension. He said He's going to be in you. So I want to ask 2 questions today, and I want to answer 2 questions today. And this is going to kind of set the basis for the rest of this study. And the first question that I really want to ask and try to answer today the best I can is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? You know, depending on what translation that you're reading, most of that the word when Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit or He's referenced in the Bible, it's going to be Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, right? You're going to hear it translated that way. But when we look at when we really dig down and look at the role of the Holy Spirit, we find out, number one, if you're taking notes, that He is a person. It's not like an entity. It's not like this force or this wind. He's referred to as wind, pneuma, breath. He's referred to as a dove. He's referred to as lightning. He's given all these characteristics so that we can try to relate and understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we know, as we really dig down into this, to who the Holy Spirit is, that He's a person. And in our banner verse this morning, if you see how Jesus is referencing to the Holy Spirit, He says that the Spirit of truth, that the world cannot accept Him, because it doesn't see Him or know Him, but you know Him, for He lives in you. So he refers to the Holy Spirit as a person. He uses the word Him 4 or 5 times in that one verse. Also, we see the Holy Spirit hundreds of times referenced to His personality in the New Testament. And this is not in your notes, but if you want to write these down, Romans 8, verse 27 says that the Holy Spirit has a mind. The mind of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says that the Holy Spirit has a will. He has a will. And Romans and Galatians, we know the Holy Spirit has emotions, such as love and joy. Acts chapter 9 says that the Holy Spirit can comfort us and console us. Hebrews 3 says that the Holy Spirit speaks. just like a person. He communicates with us, that he has a voice. John 14, our verse says that the Holy Spirit's going to teach us all things. So you see how all these personalities, Ephesians 4, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. So you can't grieve someone like he has these emotions. He has feelings. So Hebrews 10, the Holy Spirit can be insulted, can be resisted. The Holy Spirit can be lied to in Acts chapter 5. And so it's really, really important that we see the Holy Spirit as a person, because when we view the Holy Spirit as a person, we're going to relate to him as a person. So we're going to expect him to speak into our lives. We're going to expect him to help lead us and guide us. And even closer than that, we know the Holy Spirit, you know, that word parakletos, it's the best description that I can find of that. It's like if you go to pick up like a really heavy log, you ever like that you know you can't carry, parakletos would be the helper or the person that would come along on the other side of the log and help you lift that thing up and carry that log that or that burden. And that's, like, to me, the best description that I can find of the Holy Spirit. And before that we can really go any deeper into this, we've got to really take that to heart, that he is a person. And what's so beautiful about the Holy Spirit is he's not, you know, Jesus, you know, his ministry was 3 years. He lived right around 33 years. But Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was contained to one place at one time, right? And so wherever Jesus went, thousands would gather to try to get in the room. They would gather around the Sea of Galilee because he could only be in one place at one time. But the amazing thing about the person of the Holy Spirit is he's in this room with us right now. And then he's also in every church in Australia that met yesterday, right? And then he's also in Central America, and he's also in the churches all throughout our city, that the Holy Spirit is not contained to one place at one time. That he is a person and he's personal with us, but he can be personal with all 7 billion individuals on the face of the planet. And so he's a person. The second thing that I want us to see about the Holy Spirit is that he is not weird. Okay, yes, that's you're reading that correct. He is not weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He's a lot of things. But the one thing I have never found in the Bible referring to the Holy Spirit is that he's weird or goofy. Nowhere. I heard a story about these two dogs, hound dogs, that were on the front porch in front of this Pentecostal church. And you know, if you've ever been to a Pentecostal church, I went to a Pentecostal church for a long time. They start early and they end late. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know when it's going to end. And so these two hound dogs would sit on the front porch and they would watch this Pentecostal church get, you know, cranked up, and the tambourines would come out, you know, and they were dancing all around the church, and the hound dogs would watch this week after week after week, and it would just go on and on and on. And finally one day the hound dogs were watching this, you know, they were having church, and they were dancing and singing and shouting, and one of the hound dogs looked up and looked over at the other hound dog. He said, "You know, if we acted like this, they'd worm us." Anyways, listen, the Holy Spirit is not weird. You know who's weird? People are weird. And so if you had a weird interaction in church and it was the Holy Spirit or somebody said something to you that was goofy or weird or did something that was goofy or weird, you know, we don't want to attribute that to the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we're people and we make mistakes. I've had some of the craziest things said to me. I'm supposed to have 10 children right now. You know, like, honestly, I had somebody, or 9 or whatever, you know, like, and that's all, it may happen, but I'm just saying I don't know, we have to be busy. Kayla said, not with her. But I've had people tell me I was supposed to come pastor their church, you know, and like, I've had people, just all these things that the Holy Spirit told them about me. And that's not a bad thing, but it's also, you are a Christian and you're an adult and you can hear from God just like they can. Amen? And so the part of discipleship is training us to the point where we don't necessarily have to depend on other people to hear from God, but we know when it's God, and God will confirm it through other people. But we'll know when it is him, and we'll know when it's not him, right? And so the Holy Spirit is he's not weird. And Jesus, you know, took it to another level when he's telling his disciples. He said, "It's better for you if I go away." And that to me is hard to fathom. What could be better than having like the Son of God with you, to they knew the tone of his voice, the color of his hair, the color of his eyes. I mean, they sat with Jesus and seen him raise the dead and heal the sick. And he's telling them that it's better if he leaves. Because that's to me the power and the role of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes, the most of the people that I've talked with when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's not the power of the Holy Spirit that they reject. It's the packaging. It's kind of the weird goofiness that comes along with people that say they're Holy Spirit people, right? Or that, you know, like, it's the packaging. Everybody wants the power. Everybody could use some help. I need some help to be a better father, to be a better leader, to be a better Christian. It's hard to be a Christian some days, all right? Y'all pray for me. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm coming to give you power. And the packaging can be a little weird sometimes. So because of that, we just kind of stray away from it. We stay a good distance away from it. Because it's the packaging at times. But we all want the power. The next thing about the Holy Spirit is that He is God. He is God. You know, and it's you know, the thing about the Trinity, and our children are learning about the Trinity this morning, and they're given these two illustrations back there to the kids. They're taking water. You know how water can exist? It's in three different forms. You've got vapor, and you can freeze it, and it's a solid, and it can be a liquid. And then they've got eggs back there. They're showing the kids how it's one egg, but it's got a shell, and it's got a yolk, right? And it's got the white stuff, whatever that's called. I don't even know what that stuff's. But it's one egg, but it's in three different forms. And when it comes to God and the Trinity, I feel like that's the best way to describe God. Is it's one, we have one God, but He exists in three different forms. We have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is this: we all have a Father, so we can relate to that. God the Father. Okay, I have a Father. I've met lots of good dads. I've met lots of. I get that. And then we have Christ the Son, and we understand that because we have something to relate it to. But then there's this Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Like Holy Spirit. Like, we don't really have something or someone to relate it to, Him to. And so what I want us to see though this morning is that He is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. That He's God, and we see this in Acts chapter 5. And the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and it says that they came to the disciples, and it says that Peter speaking, he says, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. So here is Peter drawing a connection that the Holy Spirit is God. Matthew 28, Jesus instructing us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit. And so we see the Holy Spirit is God, and just like God the Father and God the Son, the Holy Spirit plays a unique role in our lives. And we're going to be studying that over the next several weeks, that what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? But we have to understand that He is God. And then the next one, who is the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit is my friend. He's our friend. He's by our side. He's with us at all times. No matter where we go, David said, no matter where I travel, no matter where I go, that the presence of God is with us, that He's His friend that sticks closer than a brother. Paul ended his letter to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians, like this. He says, this is what I want for you. I want the amazing grace of the Master Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit to be with you all. And so I feel like the best way that I could try to describe the role of the Holy Spirit is that He's this friend. And we've all had good friends and we've had bad friends, you know. But we know the good friends are there for us. The good friends help us get through times that we couldn't get through on our own. Or the good friends show up when it's moving day. Can I get an amen, right? Right. The good friend, like the Holy Spirit is here, and he's here to be a close friend to help us live this life that God has called us all to live, that He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So that it's just encouraging to know that, because I think we've all traveled through times in our lives where it feels like we don't have a lot of friends, right? That sometimes the higher you go, the less your circle gets smaller. And what I love about the Holy Spirit and the promise that we all have is that there's no time in our lives where we're going to navigate our life on our own. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we have a friend that's with us at all times. And I think the challenge is to lean on him a little more. That's my challenge. I can lean on my own understanding, right? I can lean on what I know. I can lean on knowledge. I can lean on things that I've learned. But I think that the goal of this life as believers is leaning on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that friend that's with us at all times, and relying on him more and more and more in our lives. And that's, to me, is sanctification. To me, that's how we walk this life out. That's how we truly live into what God's called us to do and travel where God's called us to travel. And so we've answered that question, who is the Holy Spirit? The second thing I want to answer, the second question is, what does he do? What does the Holy Spirit do? And in John chapter 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and he says that statement. He prepares them, hey, I'm going away, but it's good for you to go away because my Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to be with you forever. And so John chapter 14, 15, and 16, I can't quite tell where this conversation happens, but it's a conversation between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. So it could have happened at the dinner table in the upper room, I don't know, or it could have happened in the garden when Jesus was praying. But John chapter 14, 15, and 16 was Jesus talking to his disciples and basically telling them what they needed to know because he was about to be gone. And he says five things that the Holy Spirit will do in John 14, 15, and 16. Five things that he says the Holy Spirit is going to do and for them, but beyond that he's going to do for us. And the first thing that he says is he says that, number one, that he's going to be with me. So we know who the Holy Spirit is. What does he do? He's with us. He's with us. He's by our side. He's there in the middle of the storms. Come on, somebody. He's there when we're all alone and we feel like there's nobody. Like, he is by our side. John 14, verse 16, he says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you another counselor who's going to be with you forever. And so that means, you know, when we leave here and we get in our cars and we go back home or we go take mom to brunch, if we can get into the restaurant without getting, rained, you know what I'm saying? Like we know that the Holy Spirit is with us at all times. He's omnipresent, just like God. He's everywhere. That's a big theological term, meaning he's everywhere at all times. He's here right now. He's back at your home. He's on the job. And I think it's just reminding ourselves of that. And Jesus was having to remind his disciples of that because they were going to walk through some seasons where it didn't feel like that God was near at all. And that's when we have to remind ourselves of the role of the Holy Spirit, that he's with us. And oftentimes, it's not going to be this audible voice where we hear the Holy Spirit and we know he's there. God will speak, the Holy Spirit will speak through people, but he'll speak through nature. I think he'll speak through many different forms and many different ways. It was probably, I think, 12 or 13 years ago, I was living with this family that from the church, and I at the time, they had taken me in, and it was awesome, and they were a great family. And right after Hurricane Ivan, they sent a plane up. It's the church I was serving at. We had Convoy of Hope and the National Guard all set up shop there. And so they were looking for places to get all these resources out. There was trailer fulls of supplies and water. So a team from the church took a little prop plane up to look to see where they could get the National Guard out to different areas to distribute resources, because the roads were all, you know, you basically couldn't drive anywhere. It was really tough for weeks. And so the plane ended up just going up. It didn't even get, 1,000 feet in the air, and it crashed. And so it was in one. So this was four people on the plane, but one particular person lost her dad, lost her brother, and her sister-in-law. And so I remember I happened to be living with the family at the time, so I was there through this whole. It was one of the lowest points of my life, but it was tough watching a family go through that. It was hard. They were grieving, and I remember the daughter just expressing to me, she had just lost her brother, and she just lost her husband, and didn't know what to do. And, it's hard. We talk about the presence of God a lot, but when we go through seasons like that, it feels like God is a million miles away, because we can't understand what's going on, and we can't see that, well, you know, why would he do something like that? We were all asking those questions because it didn't make sense. And I'll never forget, Krista was her name, and she, a couple days afterwards, she would just go out on the porch, and she said she would pray and just wanted some kind of sign. And she said this monarch butterfly would come and just stop right in front of her every day. And for her, to this day, her whole, if you see Krista, she's going to have a monarch butterfly somewhere on her, you know, on her car, in her room, because to her, that was the Holy Spirit's way of saying, I'm with you. I'm going to comfort you. I know this is hard. And it spoke, and I've heard different stories from different people about hawks and about all these different ways that through nature and I know this is kind of weird. I guess I'm a hippie, okay? Whatever you want to call it. All right, I got some Cherokee Indian in me, okay? But I think that God will speak in many different ways. And when we read the Bible, we see him speaking in many different forms. And so when I say the Holy Spirit is with you, sometimes he'll communicate that through different avenues that we don't expect. And we're looking for writing on the wall, or we're looking for them in the church service sometimes, and then the sermon's just really bad, you know, or I don't know, you know, whatever. And then we get home, and he speaks through somebody, or even through someone we never expected God to speak through, and then he does it. But he always reminds us, I mean, he reminds us that he's with us, especially when we need him the most. Second thing that the Holy Spirit does is he reveals the Bible to me. He reveals the Bible to me. I remember picking up the Bible in, like, you know, 10th, 11th grade, and most people have a Bible. I mean, there's easy access to the Bible in our country. But I remember reading it, and it was like it was written in hieroglyphics. I mean, I didn't understand anything. It seemed like it was in Chinese. It was foreign. And then the moment that I made a decision to follow Christ, and it was like this light bulb went off in my head, you know, right? It's like now that I had the Holy Spirit in me, I could understand the Bible. And that's one of the, I think, the greatest roles of the Holy Spirit. It's like having this map of the world, but to me, the Holy Spirit is the compass. It's like the thing that lets you know where you are on the map. Come on, say, like, a map is no good if you don't know where you are and you don't know which way's true north. Come on, somebody. That the Holy Spirit reveals the Bible to me. And there's 66 books, and there's lots of Bible. And it just so happens that I think that one of the Holy Spirit's primary jobs is to get us in that book where we need to be for that day. Come on, somebody. Because he knows what we're going to face, and he knows what we're going to go through. That's what I pray every week, is I do my best to prepare a message. But I know that between the mic and your ears is where the real miracle happens. I'm stumbling all over myself. I honestly thought this wasn't I've been struggling with this, okay? Because I feel like every week I'm trying to bring something great, but I always remind myself that it's not me. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would speak to you between here and there, and that you hear what you need to hear. It's incredible to me when I go to the back and I talk with people and I look at their notes or what they wrote down, and it's nowhere in my notes. You know what I'm saying? Like they heard something, exactly what they needed to hear, but I'm pretty sure I didn't say it. You know, like, I mean, it may be, but, and that's the miracle. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you're sitting here, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and you may be writing something down about the Trinity or about the cross, or about, like God is speaking to you about a situation in your life that you need to hear. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between knowledge and revelation. That's the difference between knowing the Bible and wisdom, right? That revelation is a fancy term where it means revealing. That what we really, really want to get in the habit of doing is not just reading the Bible, but asking God for revelation. Asking the Holy Spirit, hey, what do I need to read today? Where do I need to go today? Jesus says it like this, John 14, verse 26. He says, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father is going to send them in my name. He's going to teach you all things, and he's going to remind you of my word, of everything that I have said. And I want to go another step in that. Not only does he reveal the Bible, and I didn't put this in your notes, but there's nothing that the Holy Spirit is not an expert in. He's omnipresent, right? He's omnipotent. He's all powerful, and he's omniscient. That's a fancy theological word for all knowing. So whatever you do, if you're an investor and you like stocks, or you build houses, or you build computers, or you're an engineer, or you're a lawyer, or you're a doctor, there's nothing that the Holy Spirit is not an expert in. And when it comes to relying on the Holy Spirit to teach us all things, sometimes we can approach God as all the only thing he masters in is church stuff, right? He's really good at communion, and he's really good at worship songs, and he's really good at sermons. But he's not good at what I have to do tomorrow morning when I wake up and this proposal I got to put together. I think we limit the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we think like that. Because when Jesus says he's going to teach you all things, I know I put the Bible there, but I should have put a different word there. He will teach you all things. You know what the Greek definition of all is? It's all. All things. How to be a better dad, how to be a better mother. Come on, somebody. How to do what you do on a day-to-day basis. The Holy Spirit's role is to teach you all things. That's why I believe Christians should be the most creative people on the planet. That we should be the leading people in every field, medicine, science, because we have something the world doesn't have, right? We have the Holy Spirit. We have access to the all-knowing, all-powerful God who will teach us all things. And when we tap into that, and when we start being led by that, I mean, there's some of the most successful men and women I know, that's how they do business. One of the greatest investors I know owns lots of rental houses. He goes to a house and he prays and asks God, is this for me? And then he prays and asks the Holy Spirit for a price. I'm serious. And he's done very well for himself. In commercial real estate, I could tell you dozens and dozens more of business leaders in our town that's how they lead their business. Because there's a lot of good opportunities out there. There's a lot of good things you can do. There's a lot of great leadership books. I'm not against that. I think you should get all the training and mentorship that you can get. But when it comes down to making some strategic decisions, the ones that you know are going to affect your family and your organization, the greatest things that you can do, one of the greatest things that you can do is say, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? Every meeting I go into, I pray that. I don't take 30 minutes, and I mean, we don't have that kind of time. But I ask God first. I mean, Holy Spirit, is there something I need to be aware of here? Help me with this. Because I'm just stumbling around in the dark. Come on, somebody. Trying to do the best that I can. The Holy Spirit will reveal all things to us. He will reveal the Bible to us. Number three, he's going to help me share Jesus with other people. To me, that's the primary role of the Holy Spirit. That's it right there. If when he's moving in our lives, we are going to be witnesses. He's going to help us reveal God to the world. John 15, verse 26, when the counselor comes, this is what he's going to do. He's going to testify about me. He's going to testify about me. He is going to help us share our faith and our story with other people. That's the primary role of the Holy Spirit. And what we've done is we've taken the role of the Holy Spirit and we've tried to make it more about us and about church, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the Holy Spirit, and we want God to move every week. We want God to be moving in our lives, but the primary work of the Holy Spirit, if there was an agenda list for what God's heart is for this world, it's lost people. And when it comes to the role of the Holy Spirit, it's not so that we can feel good or get doodads or do all this stuff together. It's not really primarily for Christians. It's not for our entertainment. It's for our empowerment. And so when we get that wrong, we can travel down roads that are not healthy. When we forget that the primary work and role of the Holy Spirit is to empower me not only to live this life in victory as a Christian, but to help reach somebody else. Acts chapter 1, it says you're going to receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to dance and shout and sing, and you're going to... No. It says you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. And again, I love the idea of church. I love to have church, right? That's kind of a sin. Let's come together. Let's have church. I look forward to having church. I like going to churches where they're excited to be there. Can I get a hand, right? I like going to churches where it's more like a wedding and a celebration and not a funeral. Can I get an amen, right? Like there's some energy in the room, that the Holy Spirit is there, that people want God to speak to them, that there's an environment of praise. Like I'm all about that, but it's not all about that. That if all we're doing is coming together, singing, shouting, having a good time and getting a fix, and then, you know, come on. And we're not remembering and really tapping into the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to reach those around us. So it's not to entertain, but it's to empower. I heard this quote this week that the one primary mark that the Holy Spirit is moving in a city or in a region, it's not signs and wonders, it's not miracles, it's not all these manifestations of the Spirit, and we're going to talk about all those things, and they're all good, but when Jesus was in a city, there was one thing that you can be assured of was there, that there was going to be lost people. That's, to me, like when God is moving and when the real revival begins to happen, you're going to see the jails begin to empty out. You're going to see crime go down. You're going to see people begin to turn course and turn direction and start heading towards God because they found something better. To me, that's revival. That's what excites me. Like, I like to have church. I like to come together. I mean, I think that's important. But there's so many people that just need a little bit of hope in their lives. There's so many people that are just one more bad encounter away from saying, I'm giving up. And we have this hope down in our soul. We have the greatest news on the planet. That's what excites me, is seeing people come to know God, seeing them find their purpose and find what God created them to do. And the Holy Spirit is so awesome because we're not called to do this on our own. We're not called to do this with our own in our own strength and with our own words. But with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He's going to give us the words. And I've found, you know, 9 times out of 10, even like when I'm sharing on Sundays, I write down, I have notes, I have an outline. But normally what people remember is stuff that I say that I didn't think about. Like, seriously. Because I go through my notes and I study and I pray. I take it really seriously. But 99% of the time, it's just a one-off story that I really believe God just drops in me. And that's what people remember. I think it's the same way when we share our faith. Like, you don't need to know the Romans Road of Salvation, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to memorize the book of Romans. Just depend on God, and I promise you, He'll give you the words. He'll give you the words. And so He helps me share my faith. Number 4, He will convict me. He will convict me of sin. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, sometimes that word conviction can have a, like, negative connotation attached to it. But conviction is a really good thing. It basically just means to redirect us, show us a better way to live, show us a better path, it means if we're heading this way, He's going to show us a better route, like you've got a GPS, everybody's got GPS now, right? You got that GPS, and if you plug it in and you're heading somewhere, and sometimes there could be a wreck, so it could be something going on the bridge, so that GPS will redirect you, right? Give you a better route. That, to me, is what conviction really means. It's a positive term. It's so that we can live a better life. John 16, verse 8 says that when He comes, there's 3 things the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to convince the world in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. And I don't think there is a more important role than that in our lives. That sometimes, I think we've all been there where we've got to check in our spirit about something. A check in our spirit about someone, and we can feel like, well, maybe it's just me or my discernment. But a lot of times, God will give us small little warnings, right? You probably shouldn't partner with them. Probably shouldn't go there. You know, like it's these small nudges where God convicts us and he shows us the way of life, right? It's not that He's trying to keep us from living or keep something from us. He's trying to reveal a better way to us. Isaiah 30, verse 21, I like the way that Isaiah puts it. He says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears are going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So we have this guide, we have this person that's showing us how to live, showing us where to walk. And you know, it's, I don't think life, I wanted to believe life got easier, but I'm finding it doesn't. You know, as you get older and you got more people that you're responsible for, and as you grow, and it can get a little overwhelming at times, right? Like, what am I supposed to go this way, Lord? Am I supposed to go this way? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to live this life? Like, you know, students, a lot of graduates this time of year, you know, am I supposed to study medicine? Am I supposed to study, you know, am I supposed to be a veterinarian? Like, you know, like, how do we direct our lives? There's so many things we could do, so many possibilities out there, so many opportunities. And this is where I wanted to land this morning, because to me, this is kind of where the rubber hits the road. John 16, verse 13, says that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he's going to guide you. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak his own, but he's only going to speak what he hears from the Father, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And to me, it's so awesome to know that we have a guide, right? That we have God's voice available to us through the Holy Spirit, that he is going to guide me. He's going to guide my life. He's going to guide my, that I don't have to live this life and try to figure it all out on my own. And I think that he's, you know, I've read this article in Time Magazine that says that we make about 1,000 decisions a day, every human being, 1,000 decisions. So if we, you know, the average age, if we lived a full life, that means that we would make about 28 million decisions in a lifetime. That's a lot of decisions. But the article talked about how of 28 million decisions, there's like 20 they call destiny decisions. Like these 20 decisions counteract the other 27.5 million, that these 20 destiny decisions really determine where we go in life and who we become. And they listed some of them, like where, you know, where we go to school, who we marry, you know, the faith that we choose to have. Like there's these big, big decisions in our life that have a lot of weight. And so I just really wanted to end with this, because I know that there's people in here that you have some big decisions in your life that you need to make. And when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus says he's going to guide us, what he means by that is that we're going to have this, it's almost like a coach in our life. Through the power that's going to help us make these decisions, going to tell us what job we should take, going to help lead us and guide us. Should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? And what it does is it takes so much pressure off of us. And when we know that all we really got to rely on, that our one role is obedience. That's what we're called to do. It's just to really listen for that voice the best we can, and then make a decision, right? That it's really about obedience, that we can get attached to outcomes sometimes, that we want things to go this way, or we really thought things would go this way. But when we know we have this guide, what we really, to really have rest and peace in our lives, is to know that, you know what, if God told me to do it, God told me to do this, that the Holy Spirit is guiding me, we can rest in that decision. We can get uneasy in decisions that we make when we kind of strive, when we try, you know, when we really don't know what to do, but when we know God is guiding us and leading us, we can rest in those decisions. We can know we made the right decision. You know, probably a decade ago, it's the last story, when I kind of felt that God was leading me into ministry to work at a church. There was a church in Pensacola, a great opportunity to be a youth pastor, and at the time, Caitlin and I were just dating. It's about 12 years ago, and we went and interviewed with the board, and they offered me more money than I was making currently. I was like 17 or 18 years old, I think. That was a long time ago. And feels like a long time ago. But I remember it was like this great opportunity. I thought, this is perfect. You know, I'm gonna have a job in a church and working in church. I felt like that was what I needed to do. And then we went to a service, and both of us, Caitlin and I, were driving home, and she didn't say anything, and I looked over and I just said, I really feel like God is saying no to this. And she looked at me, she said, I think you're right. And so it didn't make sense at all, because it was a good job, it was what I was wanting to do, and they asked me why. Why are, you know, I called back the pastor, I said, I can't take it. I just feel like God said no, and he kind of got mad, honestly, he got mad. like 2 months later, he was on the front page of the News Journal. So he got into some trouble. And what I'm saying is, like, when God gives you a no, just take it as a no. Because the thing about the Holy Spirit is what I love about this. He says he's going to tell you what's yet to come. So he's already in next week, and he's already in next month, and he's already in next year. And so when we rely on the Holy Spirit, oftentimes it may not make sense here, but we got to trust that God sees what the future holds for us. And he knows where we need to go and what we need to do, what job we need to take, what job we don't need to take. And that's when we truly begin to see the miracles and the power of God in our life, when we allow him to guide us. So I want to pray this morning. If you just bow your heads, we're going to pray together. And I want to pray for, maybe you're here and you just need some guidance this morning. You feel like you got some big decisions coming up. And you're like me, you just don't know which way you need to go or where you need to turn, or you just need some guidance in your life. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning, is he wants to speak into your life to give you the guidance that you need to help you make that decision, and whatever it is that's in front of you. So even in this moment right now, God, we just invite your presence to come, Lord. That Lord, we just ask, even in this moment, that you're speaking purpose into our lives. Maybe you're here and you feel like, you know, I don't know what's next for me. I don't know what's next for me. I've kind of hit a dead end road, and I know there's something coming, but I don't know what it is. I'm praying that even right now in this moment, that your guide, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is showing you what's next. He's going to reveal those things that are to come. He's going to show you sometimes he'll give us glimpses of what's in front of us. He'll give us glimpses of where he's calling us to go and what he's calling us to do. And so Lord, we just open our hearts to you right now. God, we just pray that you would lead us and guide us, God, that Lord, we're open, even in this moment, to hearing from you, Lord. We know that you're speaking. We know that you're in this place. We know, God, that you're with us. So, Lord, help us to turn our ears. Help us to hear, Lord, your guidance and your call, and to live our lives based on that. God, based on your guidance and your direction. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.